Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everyone? It is Tuesday, January 28th here on the second half of Sports Talk. Steve Geller, Charlie Long, bringing up to 8 p.m. this evening. This hour, we'll be getting a little Pelicans talk, finding out the latest with them as they wrapped up a three-game road trip without a victory, unfortunately, back in the Smoothie King Center tomorrow night to host the Dallas Mavericks. Joining us will be Chris Connor covering the Pels for Boot Crew Media at 6:25. Then in the 7 o'clock hour, talk a little LSU baseball as we get ready for opening day coming February 14th, Valentine's Day. What do you know, close to me and Charlie's heart, college baseball kicking off. And Cokie Riley will help us break down the LSU baseball team as they get ready for a championship run, hopefully, with under Jay Johnson, another title in the works for this team that looks stacked to be going into this season. And of course, we got a ton going on with Senior Bowl right now and the Saints head coaching search. We found out today Cliff Kingsbury pulling his name out the hat. Not a big surprise, I think, to a lot of folks considering where he is right now with that Washington Commanders squad. And you got a guy in Jaden Daniels there I think I'd want to stick around a little more and work with. And basically, I guess in a year or two, probably have your pick of the litter if you are, you know, still considered a head coaching candidate.
So Cliff Kingsbury was never really in the running, and all the betting odds had kind of said that. His name was mentioned, so he was always listed, but he was always at the bottom of the list. He was always behind Kafka and Weaver and Rizzi, and they're behind McCarthy and Moore. So Cliff Kingsbury, yes, he quote-unquote pulled his name out. That's fine. I don't think he really was ever in the running for this job. So real quick, Steve, as you mentioned about LSU baseball, oh boy, they are now top three in Baseball America, Perfect Game, and D1's preseason rankings. The lowest they were was three. I think they're going to be awesome this year. And we'll talk with Cokie more about it. I can't wait to break down this roster and, you know, how the moving pieces. And when you're Jay Johnson and you load up a roster like he did in the offseason to get them back to Omaha, you have so much depth on this roster. So it's going to be interesting to see kind of how the pieces fit specifically in the infield and also in the pitching staff, the weekend rotation, how that's all going to kind of shape out. And then, you know, maybe at the start of the season, it's not going to be the same by the end of the season. You know, that always happens in college baseball. So a couple questions there for Cokie that we'll get to in the 7 o'clock hour, but we just need something good, right? Like LSU baseball is going to be awesome and I can't wait for it. You know, the Pelicans last night dropping their second game to Toronto this season, one of the worst teams in the Eastern Conference. We'll talk with Chris Connor just a little bit about that in the future of the Pels and heading into the trade deadline 9 days away. Steve, it's just kind of unfortunate because you get that 7 wins in 10 games stretch where you're feeling good about yourselves at the start of the
month. It looked like they were starting to build something.
And then this 0-3 road trip just was kind of lifeless. I mean,
and you can't even blame Zion. He looked pretty good.
No, Zion played.
Right. I mean, Brandon
Ingram
the one game.
Has still been out for a month and a half with his sprained ankle. We're waiting on him to come back. I mean, I don't think he's going to play another minute for the Pelicans at this point, Steve.
No, I've pretty much written that off as well. I'm not looking for him to show up as, you know, probable or questionable or anything in the injury report anymore. I'm just considering him out until the trade deadline comes about, and I don't expect him back.
Just chilling on the bench. But, I mean, the loss to Charlotte was one thing where you just – I don't think they won a quarter in that game, Steve, against the Charlotte Hornets, who are the 14th seed in the East. And then against Toronto
– they couldn't make a three.
You have a terrible first half. Oof. Where you score like 40 points with basically everyone available except for Brandon Ingram and Herb Jones. And you score 40 points in the first half against one of the worst defenses in the NBA in Toronto. They're the 12th seed in the Eastern Conference. They're not any – like
No, it was one of those nights for sure where nothing was falling for them. Like I mentioned, I forget what the exact numbers on the three-point shooting, but it was
like 6 of 28, right, I think, right. Was the number. It was bad. So, yeah, another tough loss. You go to Toronto. Toronto had smoked you on your home floor back in November, and so you're hoping to get some revenge there and kind of wash the taste out of your mouth, so to speak, and then you just lose again. And so now the Pelicans are, what, 12-35 on the season, Steve? So... for the folks that are counting ping pong balls, it was a good game for them. But for everyone else that just wants to see the Pelicans do well, it just was ugly last night.
No, and you look forward to them coming back home for the next two games, but not easy matchups. You got the Dallas Mavericks tomorrow night, and then Friday is the Boston Celtics coming to town.
Steve, let me look ahead because I think the February slate is what I would want to highlight.
Is even more grueling.
It's awful. And Willie last night was ejected, I think, for the second time in his head coaching career. I get it. Like, you watch Zion play at times, and he just gets hacked without getting a whistle, and it's frustrating to see. But that was, you know, Willie's trying to show some emotion, but then they just completely fall apart in the fourth quarter, and they end up losing by 9 points to Toronto, one of the worst teams in the East. It's just been a brutal year.
Yeah, it's tough to watch this squad, and yeah, I understood totally Willie Green's frustrations, and with everything else going on, it just felt like this – everything was kind of building inside there, and he needed to unleash something, and Zion Williamson getting hacked with no call just really set Willie off the deep end on that one.
So I'm counting ahead here, Steve. The final two games in January against Dallas and Boston, and then this is the February slate, and this is where, like I mentioned, it gets brutal. You have back-to-back games at Denver. You play at Sacramento, at OKC, back-to-back games against Sacramento, at Dallas, back-to-back games at home against San Antonio, and back-to-back games on the road against Phoenix. That is a tough slate. So the Pelicans, you know, you were hoping that you could pick up some wins against Memphis. That was one thing. Memphis is one of the best teams in the Western Conference. But just losing to Charlotte and Toronto the way they did to close out that road trip, you wanted to pick up at least one, if not both, of those wins ahead of this slate. Like I mentioned, Dallas, Boston, Denver, Sacramento, Oklahoma City, you know, Dallas again, San Antonio, and Phoenix.
So we get a Super Bowl road trip this year and a Mardi Gras road trip.
6, 7, 8. I'm counting. That's 14 games, I believe. That's just a brutal slate that you have upcoming. So things are not looking good. Let's just say that.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, one of the bright spots I thought of the season, obviously Eve Missy, the rookie. We saw some great things from him early on. But like you kind of mentioned, the rookie wall seems to have hit him a little bit hard. Looking forward, though, at least he had made it to the Rising Stars game. So congrats to Eve on that. And like I mentioned during Triple Option, the scouting department has done a good job of bringing in young talent. We just got to keep guys healthy around here.
And Eve is a core building block,
yeah,
right?
For
like,
sure.
Yes, he's hitting the rookie wall, as I had mentioned during the Triple Option segment. But at the same time, he's proven enough that he's one of those core pieces for the future of this team. When he came in, none of us were expecting him to be a starter right off the bat as a rookie.
No, he was looked as a project for sure. I was like, I don't know if this guy's going to even get minutes this year.
He was like a raw prospect out of Baylor. He's only been playing basketball for like half a decade.
We're all panicking. What are the Pelicans going to do at center this season?
Yeah, exactly. But he has been like that guy. Now, the depth behind him is where you kind of have some issues because Daniel Tice has not been very good. By the way, Steve, real quick, I had gotten that number wrong. I was trying to count too quickly. It is the next 13-game slate for the Pelicans. So, you know, including the upcoming All-Star break, there is a little bit of a gap there. But the next 13 games, including the final two of this month and then the 11 games that you play in February, I'll be interested to see by the end of it what the Pelicans' record in that 13-game run is because, I mean, it's a brutal slate that you have coming up, and it's already a team that's been slumping.
curious to see, too, what the Smoothie King Center is going to be like, not only tomorrow, but the rest of the year. We have no football to lean back on right now, so the Pelicans are like the game in town. We do have baseball season around the corner, but man, Pels basketball, they need to carry us to the end of the year here. I'm not expecting a miraculous turnaround where they end up even making the play-in tournament, just having some competitive, fun basketball down the stretch at least.
As you mentioned, we got LSU baseball coming up in a couple weeks here, Steve, and I can't wait.
We're going to take a break, talk some more Pels basketball. Chris Connor, who covers them for Brute Crew Media, will join us talking about that three-game winless road stand. And also, they're back home tomorrow night taking on the Dallas Mavericks, then the Boston Celtics. Get into more Pels talk right after this. So stay tuned right here on Sports Talk on WWL. Welcome back here to Sports Talk. Steve Geller along with Charlie Long taking to 8 p.m. this evening. Happy to welcome in the first time talking to Chris Connor, who covers the Pels for Boot Crew Media. How you been doing, Chris?
Been doing all right, man. Pleasure to be on the show, man. Thank you, guys.
Definitely appreciate it. Looking at the Pels' last three-game road trip, unfortunately couldn't pick up a victory at all in a tough one the other night, losing in a game where three-point shooting was just so abysmal. I can't even, you know, put a finger on it in Toronto of what exactly went wrong for them. Just an off night totally. Great to see Zion, you know, putting up points in limited minutes. Hopefully we get to see him in action more. But just overall, a three-game road stand, it was a big disappointment for this Pel squad that looked like they were building some positive momentum.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think it's tough for the team right now with all the different injuries and the guys in and out of the lineup to build any sense of real chemistry and flow together. You know, even if it's, you know, Zion, who's only played a handful of games this season,
right?
Fitting him back in, him finding some rhythm now. We're talking about conditioning and, you know, him playing 5 minutes here and taking out and getting the rhythm going and taking out again. DeJounte Murray, after coming back from an injury, had played a bunch of different games and he misses the game. And then, you know, you got guys like Trey Murphy, who's really been, you know, who's having some would say a breakout season, struggling a little bit. But, you know, him along with C.J. McCollum, they've kind of been the two as of late that have been available and around. Those two having to adjust. It's just been a season of inconsistency, I would say, across the board. And when you throw that in with some of the injuries and maybe some of the flaws that they have from the roster to, in the coaching staff, so on and so forth, it's just not a real recipe night to night to know really what you're going to get.
Chris, I think it was I read this somewhere that it was like the third game that Zion, Trey, and DeJounte have played together, which is just, to your point, like in and out of injuries. There's no chemistry being built. Last night's game against the Raptors, I wanted to highlight it. You know, they make that push in the third quarter where you're starting to feel good about their potential chances to come back after such a slow first half. And then the fourth quarter happens, and they just can't get a stop. All of a sudden, Toronto Raptors put up 39 points, outscoring by 10, and they win the game by 9. You know, Willie Green was ejected from that matchup as well, kind of arguing the calls that Zion Williamson just gets hacked a bunch in the paint, and NBA officials just don't know when or how to call it. And so Willie kind of standing up for his guy was nice to see, but at the same time, in a losing effort where you kind of fought back in the third quarter with a really strong third quarter, but then fell flat in the fourth quarter, picking up a third straight loss on the road, where against the 14th seed and the 12th seed in the Eastern Conference back-to-back, you really needed to pick up some wins there.
Yeah, I mean, they're in a, it's almost a no-win situation right now. You know, when you're in a, when you're this far into the season and you're 23 games under 500, right? Every game hurts. Every close game hurts. I'm sure the guys in the locker room, you know, they feel like with some of the talent they even have available that they should be in more of these games. But, you know, look, I mean, it's still a team that lacks depth in a bunch of different areas. It's still a team that bench is hurting, you know, with Jordan Hawkins being inconsistent. He seemed like he was putting together really a stretch, and then you get, you know, a game where he puts up 7 points on 7 shots. Jose Alvarado played 18 minutes yesterday, only got up 2 shots and went 0 for 2. He wasn't able to be effective. The center position I mean, while Eve Missy will more than likely make an all-NBA team, I mean, this rookie team, this was a position that we talked about all offseason. And really for some years, if you're simply talking about depth, mentioning that the Pelicans needed to improve, there's only so much you're going to get from Eve Missy. He played, I think, 22, 23 minutes. Your backups are Daniel Tice and Carlo Mackovich. It's just you're struggling there. Javante Green has been playing well, but you don't have enough firepower off of the bench to sustain some of these runs. So then you go back to putting a bunch of the pressure on guys that really haven't played a whole bunch of games together. You mentioned that DeJounte, Zion, and Trey was just their third game playing together. That's not a real recipe for success with even speaking to defense. The defense, no matter who's been out there, even when Herb Jones was available, was having struggles. You look across the board, this team has had to fight something either on or off the floor pretty much since the season started. It's just not a team that I think is in a situation where you can count on them to consistently fight back from game to game adversity. They don't have I don't think they have the right parts that are currently out there, and they clearly don't have the right chemistry and flow as a unit.
Yeah, one of the big issues, obviously, the injury bug was just brutal to this team this year. A guy that's been out for a while now with this ankle issue, and Brandon Ingram, do you expect to see him again in the Pelicans uniform, or is he going to be shipped out of town before we get to see him play again for the Pels?
Yeah, it's difficult to say that. You know, I think the smart move for the organization, for the team at this point, would be to move Brandon Ingram. You know, the truth is, I mean, it's just Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram, they haven't gotten enough out of it.
Yeah.
It hasn't worked. It hasn't given you the type of duo that you would want, and whether that's simply off of availability or fit, those two don't seem to mesh well together. And you're in a situation where, even if you look to maybe get a steal on a return for Brandon Ingram contract-wise, I don't think Brandon's in a situation where he's looking at this point in his career, even with some of his injury concerns and maybe, the disappointing season he had last season and some things that he needs to improve on individually. I don't think he's in a position to give the Pelicans that either. He probably wants to change the scenery. He probably wants to go out and see what his value truthfully is in the open market. So if you're in a situation where you're not going to get anything back for him, and you know as a franchise you need to move forward, it's time for you to start, whether you want to call it a mini reset or whatever term it's going to be at this point, a different direction, it would make sense to trade Brandon. But the issue with that is this market, it is a confusing market. We don't know what teams are interested truthfully in Brandon and what they will be willing to give up. Brandon Ingram's name has been talked about in trade discussions for the past 3-4 seasons. We're talking about, deadline moves, off-season moves, and even every time you think the Pelicans may be entered towards making a move, nothing ultimately happens. So, the question that I would have at this point is, I'm sure that there will be some kind of offer, or maybe even multiple offers for Brandon at the deadline. The question is, will the offers that are presented be enough for the Pelicans to maybe have to take a loss in a deal for something that may be an ultimate long-term gain? And I don't know if we've seen them make enough moves in the David Griffin era to really point to them having a history of willing to do that. So that's what's going to be interesting, I would say, the deadline with him.
Yeah, I agree 100%. But I think the interesting thing is it feels like the writing's a little bit on the wall with Brandon. You know, all the discussions, and you mentioned it, this past offseason was full of them about Brandon potentially extending here, and they just weren't able to reach an agreement because Ingram's camp wanted the max, $52 million per year, and the Pelicans weren't willing to reach that number. So nothing really got done. We talked with Bobby Marks a couple weeks back, Chris, and he mentioned that, wherever Ingram gets moved to, and so far the early reports are that Toronto is interested via Mark Stein. Bobby Marks had told us effectively that wherever he gets moved to, they're going to have to figure out a contract extension for him as well. And that's also going to kind of dictate what type of return you can get for him. And you might be operating at a loss, but as you kind of said, it feels like at this point, Brandon Ingram's not going to re-sign here in free agency. So, you know, moving on from him, getting something for him, even if it is at a loss, it feels like the smart thing to do for the Pelicans franchise.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. You know, and look, I mean, one of the, if you can find any positive from this season in regards to this roster, it is what Trey Murphy, for example, has been able to show you that he's able to do. You can 100% know that he is a starting. I mean, I think a good majority of us have known, Trey's known for the past few years, he was a starter in this league. Well, now everybody can see it. He has an extension. He has the money backing him now. So it's clear he's starting. You know, if Herb Jones is going to be in your starting lineup, you have DeJounte Murray, you have Zion. He's Missy seems to hopefully be a part of your center, you know, your center of the future discussion. The roster kind of feels as if, you know, you kind of have an idea what the roster could look like going forward. So it should make it easier for you to move forward, and maybe it could be a situation where less talent is actually more. It's not a question of Brandon Ingram's talent as an individual. I think it's more of a fit at this point. And, you know, I mean, really, in all honesty, I think other teams around the league are asking themselves that as well. You see a lot of teams that are looking at wings. They're looking at upgrading their team around the deadline. Brandon Ingram's name isn't attached to a lot of those contending teams that are trying to make moves because, as you mentioned, one of the elements not only is what you're going to have to pay for him or commit to him long-term, because I'm sure his agency clutch, they're looking for a place where he can find an extension, not just be a rental, you know, but it has, you know, you have to wonder, okay, well, if it is a team that's trying to make a playoff push or a play-in push or this maybe even trying to contend to a championship team, how does Brandon Ingram make them better? And have you, you know, what kind of shape is he in physically, mentally, you know, the injury concerns that, you know, there, we haven't seen him in a couple of months now, or a month or some change. You know, it's a lot at play. And, you know, I mean, I just think it's a tough decision for everyone involved, but for the Pelicans, I think it's best for them to move forward at this point. They've already committed to some others financially. And right now, you're going to have to sink or swim with what it means to have Zion Williamson as truthfully the face of your franchise going forward.
And then last one for you here, Chris. Steve and I were talking about this in the opening segment. You know, the Pelicans going 0-3 on this road trip. Look, Memphis, that's one thing. But then, you know, Charlotte and Toronto back-to-back, that's a tough look. Because if you're looking ahead, the February slate and even the end of January, the next two games, you know, in the Smoothie King Center against Dallas and Boston, if you add that, then you have two games against Denver, 3-4 against Sacramento with OKC kind of sandwiched in between them. And then you play Dallas again in Dallas. You have back-to-back home games against San Antonio and then back-to-back road games against Phoenix. I mean, this is a 13-game slate that, you know, right now you're 12-35. As you kind of said, 23 games below 500 at this point in the season, you know, getting close to February. But the next 13 games, it feels like this could be kind of the sinking moment.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. You know, you talk to a lot of the fans, and yeah. I mean, I think I'm kind of I'm in a weird spot watching the team as well. You know, I mean, I understand those that want to see the team tank for a better draft position and, you know, this new era of sorts. But you know, you look at the roster, even with missing Herb Jones and missing Brandon Ingram, you look at them and say they're not a team that's like their roster isn't this bad. So, you know, they're not a team that should be in the conversations with, you know, with Washington's or Charlotte's or even it, but here they are. And the schedule does not get easier. You're missing 12 or 13 games. If you go beyond that, we can go all the way to March, you know, and beyond, the schedule is pretty rough for this team. So even if healthy, from how we started the conversation about the guys in and out of the lineup, the chemistry, And even if you're able to string a few games together with these guys, it just feels like another injury is right around the corner. That's what has continued to happen, not just in this season, but in previous seasons over, you know, with a lot of these guys in this group. So, you know, I mean, I think, you know, you're looking at a situation where even if you are able to somehow survive, this next 12 to 13 stretch. What does that mean? Survival for this team, a good, the way with, that this season has went, survival with them just be going 500. But that doesn't help you at all in the long run. You're not moving up the standings there. They're going to have to make some real interesting decisions. Like, you know, you can't, you're not in a situation where you can necessarily slow down a Trey Murphy who's having a really good year, who wants to play. You can't slow down a Zion Williamson if he's able to be on the basketball floor. He's missed enough games as is. Eves Missy needs as many reps, consistent reps. You got a lot of guys that simply want to play. DeJounte Murray's missed time has gone through things off the floor. He's going to want to be on the basketball floor. It's going to be interesting to see the balance that this team and organization takes in regards to looking at the reality of their situation right now, of a team that looks like they will be nowhere close to any type of playoff contention, but having so many talented and veteran players, C.J. McCollum included, that could be available in a situation where what exactly are they playing for outside of maybe just finding a way to build some type of chemistry going into the offseason and next year.
Chris, just curious too, real quick, about your opinion on head coach Willie Green. Is he safe going into next season, or is it something where this franchise needs to look at a complete reset and look at a new head coach as well?
I think they need to look at a completely new. Well, they need to look at a reset at the coaching position. I don't think. I don't believe that Willie Green is a horrible coach. You know, I think that there are some things that he does well. I think that there are some things that he does well in regards to having guys buy into certain things. If you just look at it from in the most simplest terms possible, one of the things since Willie's gotten to New Orleans that he's been able to lay his head on is the fact that all of his teams, no matter who's available, have been good defensively. This team has not. They've been god-awful defensively. So at that point, if you've already had struggles offensively, which has been a consistent thing, if you already have questions in regards to Willie's ability managing certain games and maybe making the right calls in the moment, and if you have worries about how creative the team can be offensively versus being predictable and stagnant on that side, if you can't count or rely on their ability to defend, then you have to wonder, what exactly is Willie Green offering you as a coach? Are the guys even responding at this point? I don't think if you are in a situation where you are entering a new era, whether that means a high draft pick or whether that means simply going into a new era with Zion Williamson and Trey Murphy, Herb Jones, whoever your best two or three players are, I don't know if you can do that ending an era with Brandon Ingram, where you can go ahead and bring back a new coach. If you are going to start this thing over, if you are going to be a high lottery team, I think it makes sense to knock down a few different things and try to start a new culture of sorts, a new system altogether, and really see what the next 3 to 5 years can look like from there.
Great info, Chris. Definitely appreciate the time. You can follow him, folks, at Impatient Bull on X. Appreciate the time, and we'll be talking soon, Chris. Have a good one, man.
Thanks, Chris.
You too, man. Appreciate it.
That was Chris Connor covering the Pels for Boot Crew Media. Like I mentioned, you can follow him at Impatient Bull on X. We're taking a break here on Sports Talk. We'll get more to some our Senior Bowl sound bank when we get back after the break here on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Want to dip into our Senior Bowl sound bank right now. Today at the event, New York Giants offensive coordinator Mike Kafka spoke to the media. Of course, Saints fans very familiar him. He's interviewed for the position of head coach here, had his virtual interview, also did the person in one-on-one interview with the team as well, and got asked, of course, a ton of questions about the black and gold at the Senior Bowl. Here's what Mike Kafka had to say today.
How'd everything go today, you think?
I'm very proud of the way our coaches have, organized both sides of the football, offense, defense, special teams. Really, really happy with how they organized it. I thought really did a nice job. Great energy by all the coaches, the players. So it's a good job. I mean, we got a few things that we got to clean up. We'll talk about that and address that in our team meetings. But overall, I'm happy.
How's it been from you, from a coaching perspective, getting this opportunity and all that good stuff?
Yeah, It's a great opportunity. The one thing that I try to focus on is just the players, you know, making sure that they're in a good frame of mind, they're prepared, they're ready to go. It's really about just getting a great evaluation of those guys. And, you know, the more I get to meet them in the meetings, on the field, off the field, watching them compete, you know, you get a really good scope of the player.
Many of us in this scrum, sorry, are from New Orleans, so I wanted to ask you about how that process went, you know, the experience you had with New Orleans and where you think you stand now.
It was a great experience. Really, really great organization. Mickey and his staff, getting to know those guys and spend a lot of quality time with them over the last few days. So, I mean, it was, again, a really good experience, and I'm thankful that I had to go through that.
What can you tell us from that experience in terms of, like, how did you kind of pitch yourself, and what do you think makes you, you know, qualified for that job?
Yeah, I think the most important things is when you go into those interviews that you're just yourself, right, and you present your plan with confidence. You go through as many details as you possibly can and really, you know, give them a good perspective of how you would handle things.
Are you still in the mix there, or is that... Are you still in the process?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't, like, the next step, no one's been hired yet, so I'm just, you know, working my butt off here at the Senior Bowl and, you know, letting God kind of work in his own way.
I'm with the Chicago Sun-Times. I was just wondering what it was like for you to get a call from the Bears and go through the interview process.
Yeah, the last 3 years, I've had about two to four interviews each year, and each one's a little bit different, but they're all been great experience. I've learned, been able to learn from each one of them. And so now at this point, I have a good frame of mind and good picture of what I'm looking for. And, you know, it's just about connecting, you know, with the organizations.
What did you like about your process with the Bears, the meeting that you had with them?
All the processes I've gone through have been really thorough. And it's really, it's about, you know, that connection with the GM, the ownership, the staff that you're going to work with on a day-to-day. And so, you know, I just spent a lot of time trying to get them to understand who I am, what I'm about, and kind of vice versa. You know, we kind of work through the partnership portion of that.
Does the process say what he was impressed about with you as a candidate?
Listen, I'm not going to get into, like, the details of that. You know, I'm sure Mickey would have a, you know, better answer for that. But I really enjoyed my time there with Mickey and his staff.
What's your philosophy on when is the right time? Because you're in a great position where you, I'm sure, like the job that you have right now. What's your approach to, like, what will be the right situation or the right time to take the next step?
Yeah, that's just, you know, I don't want to get into hypotheticals, but you got to just evaluate each situation as it comes across. So, you know, right now I'm focused on the Senior Bowl. When and if that opportunity happens, then I gotta, you know, be ready to do to approach that as well.
What are your thoughts on that?
About the Saints opportunity, what do you see in that team and their ability?
Yeah, you know, you certainly spend a lot of time studying, number one, their roster, the staff. You study their history, kind of the organization and the ownership group. So there's a lot of things to like about their organization. And if that opportunity presents itself, you know, I think you'll be lucky to get that job.
And obviously, it feels like a tough place to win right now. Cap issues, roster issues. But do you feel like people are sleeping on the potential of that opportunity, I guess?
You know, I don't want to get too far into the weeds on that, but, you know, I do, I really appreciated just the whole operation, you know, and getting down there, really spend a lot of time with the group and really understand who they are and then letting them know what I'm about.
Obviously, you know, big Super Bowl coming up in New Orleans, you got ties to both sides, you know, being on Andy Reid's staff for so long and also obviously, you know, playing in Philly too. What do you think of all your connections to the big game?
Yeah, it's, you know, Super Bowl is a special thing. I had an opportunity to be in two of them, won one, lost one. So I kind of know both sides of the coin there, but it's a special game, not just for the teams that are playing, but for the entire National Football League.
What's your relationship with Ryan Poles from you guys' time?
Sorry, say that again.
Ryan Poles, your relationship with him from Kansas City? What is that relationship?
Yeah, it's a great relationship. I've known Ryan for almost 10 years now. And even other people in the organization, Ted Cruz, you know, grew up in Chicago, so very familiar with the organization, and they have a good group there. A lot of people that I respect. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
You heard from Mike Kafka there. Figured it'd be interesting for all you Hoodats out there might not know too much about the guy other than the fact that he was an assistant coach with the Chiefs, the offensive coordinator with the Giants. We know he was a quarterback. Northwestern, spent a couple of years in the NFL as a journeyman. Didn't really get much playing time, though, as a quarterback in the NFL.
Jeff Nowak, our St. Simon reporter who got that interview for us, had a great tweet about that as well. He said, quote, "I'll give him credit for being very head coach like that. He managed to answer six different questions about the Saints head coaching interview while at the same time revealing absolutely nothing about how it went." But he did have a lot of
he's ready for the pros in that aspect,
about,
right?
Yeah, no, I mean it's you know, he's already a head coach in his own mind. So, but it went really well about kind of raving about the organization and Mickey and kind of the interview process and everything. But he definitely avoided the quote unquote weeds of it. So we didn't get too much of it, but when we were talking with Patricia Traina last week, the host of the Locked On Giants podcast, she had a lot of great things to say about his creativity, his offensive mind, and like Mike was mentioning earlier on in the show about talking with Zach Strief, who was his offensive lineman for Kafka when he was a quarterback, that he's going to someday be an NFL head coach. Now, Kafka is not kind of close to being the top two candidates, McCarthy and Kellen Moore right now. His name's still in the running. They haven't obviously excluded anything like that.
Right. He got his second interview, the in-person interview, so that's definitely a positive.
It's a big thing for him, for sure.
Right.
He's going to be a head coach at some point, like Strief had mentioned. We'll see if it happens this cycle, but I wouldn't anticipate it.
We're taking a break here on Sports Talk. That was a segment of our Senior Bowl Sound Bank. We'll be back with even more Sports Talk after the break right here on WWL. Well, as we gear up for Super Bowl 59, join WWL for exclusive a three-hour feature show, Feeling the Reimagined Pro Bowl Games live from Orlando, Florida. That Sunday afternoon from 2 to 5 p.m. will bring you unparalleled access to NFL stars and legends with player interviews and special appearances by NFL icons. Don't miss out the 7 days to Super Bowl Sunday. The NFL Reimagined Pro Bowl Games at Sunday from 2 to 5 on WWLAMFM.com and always live on the free Odyssey app. Taking a break for the news when we get back, some more of our Senior Bowl Soundbank plus some LSU baseball as we get ready for the season to open next month. Be back with more Sports Talk right after this. Stay tuned on WWL.